When we think of stress, we often think of a middle-aged man working late nights with a cup of coffee at his side, his tie pulled loose around his neck as he hovers over his desk, head in hand. Scattered across his desk are stacks of files, a briefcase, a computer screen, and a smartphone with a calendar and a clock, both reminding him that there are deadlines to meet and messages to be returned. But you know, these days, it's not just dads who are overly stressed out. Our society has become so fast-paced that moms are suffering at least as much, and in many cases, even more. Yet there is an entire sector of society still being grossly overlooked when it comes to stress. That society is made up of our children. Never have kids been such victims of what has traditionally been thought to be an adult problem. What you and your children need to know about stress, that's what we're talking about today on Licensed to Parent. Well, hello and welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential program helping teens in crisis. I'm Rich Rosel, and our host on Licensed to Parent is the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill, Trace Embry. And Trace, it is easy to get caught up in today's hustle, bustle, rat race. Mm-hmm. At least it's easy for me as a dad. But when we look to our kids and when we look to our families and when we think about everything that is swallowing us up alive as mm-hmm. we attempt to get ahead, we got to just keep powering on. But I think now our call is we've got to keep moving forward, but with a mind on how we're modeling that for our kids.
Yeah, you know, I think most of us are addicted to it. I have to confess guilt in this area myself. It seems that when 5 o'clock rolls around, there's still a mountain of work left to do.
Yeah.
The problem is that it's not just us trying to pack 30 hours of activity in a 24-hour bag. Our kids are doing the same thing, albeit with mostly school and amusement rather than work and career. But it's stress nonetheless, and all this stress is affecting our mental and our physical health, and that includes our adrenal systems. And though perhaps reducing some of our commitments seems to be the obvious fix, there are some dietary elements to this equation that could help us too, and our kids also deal with stress more effectively.
Well, I got to say, in our family, as the new school year rolled around, we were facing a lot of this in our home because the kids had, quite frankly, gotten used to the summer schedule, and then they jumped into the school schedule, and in both of our kids' cases, you know, you're moving forward 1 year, the level of work required is higher, and there were many nights as the school year started where we're like, okay, we're way past bedtime now. In fact, we're way past our bedtime now, and you're still working on this. So it is, there are a lot of demands, and it's not just a matter of cutting out activities because cutting out school is not one of those options.
Right.
So, you know, how to deal with it.
And all the sports and clubs and church and, you know, all those activities that go along with all that.
Well, we had even trimmed some of those back trying to do it. So it's a big thing that has to be dealt with. And we are seeking medical advice, medical help today, if you will. But an alternative to that as well, because so many in medicine deal with the problems after they become problems. Mm-hmm. And we have got a repeat offender on the Licensed to Parent program, Dr. Gene Lawrence, who has been great at coming in and helping us be proactive. Let's take a proactive approach to our health and our kids' health so that we can avoid some of the problems. And today she's going to help us, hopefully, help our kids avoid stress.
Amen.
Dr. Gene Lawrence is a master herbalist, a master iridologist, a certified nutritionist, a doctor of naturopathy, and a certified functional medicine practitioner. She and her husband, Dr. Philip Lawrence, operate Lawrence Health and Wellness here in Toccoa, Georgia, which is how we happen to get to know her. As I mentioned, she's been a guest on Licensed to Parent several times in the past discussing nutrition as it pertains to our children's well-being, and she's back with us today to help us diffuse the stress in our kids' lives.
Well, Dr. Gene, welcome back to the Licensed to Parent broadcast.
Thank you.
Well, as we mentioned in the opening, when we think about stress, we don't always think of how stress affects our kids. One prominent psychologist pointed out that today's teenagers are under the same degree of stress and anxiety as the average psychiatric patient in the 1950s. What's been your experience?
My experience is that children actually do have a lot of stress in their lives, and parents are not always aware of the signs of stress in their children. They think that they are the only ones coping with stress, and they tend to tell the children, well, you'll be fine and just kind of ignore it because they're so busy with their own stress.
What are some of the warning signs for stress in our kids?
Okay, there's several signs that you can look for in your child. One would be digestive issues, either difficulty digesting their food, stomach upsets, pain in the stomach area, especially when it's time to go to school, trying to find ways out of going to school. That's a very popular one. Chronic allergies. Anytime you're under stress, it's lowering your immune system.
Okay.
So someone with allergies, they're going to really flare up more during the school year than they do during summer when the child is off school. The child can also have weight issues. They could be fine, and all of a sudden they start a new grade or a new school, or they've transferred to another school, and they start putting on weight because they're eating. We go back to the eating for stress, emotional eating. Also, the child could have difficulty sleeping. So they say either I can't sleep, or I'm sleeping too much, or I'm sleeping in all weekend, and I'm not wanting to participate in things. If you see a general change in their mood and their behavior, they just don't want to participate much, they don't really care, they start to lose interest, or their friends drift away, then there's some stress going on that needs to be addressed. And a lot of times children don't report stress to parents because they think it's either going to be ignored or they're being childish about it and they need to grow up and handle it. Or they think maybe they'll get in trouble for saying something that someone is bothering them at school, or they feel like the homework level is too low. Right. They don't want to be thought of as stupid. So if they say, I can't do the homework in this class and everybody else is doing it, the child will feel it must just be me and I'm having a problem here. Most of the time it's a lot of other kids suffering the same thing.
Right. Is there a particular age group suffering most?
Yes. What I see is the transition between elementary school and middle school tends to be far and away the most stressful time for children. 875 boys and girls from the age of 9 to 13 years old were polled. The poll was taken to see what kids said caused them the most stress. 36% said grades, school, and homework, 32% family, and 21% friends, peers, gossip, and teasing. Now, here were the coping strategies that kids were using to deal with this stress, and they could give more than one response on this poll. 52% play or do something active, 44% listen to music, 42% watch TV or play a video game, 30% talk to a friend, 29% try not to think about it, 28% try to work things out, 26% eat something. 26%.
How is that different from adults?
Something. 23% lose their tempers, 22% talk to a parent, and 11% cry. Now, kids are also saying 25% of the children polled, they take it out physically on themselves when they're upset by banging their heads, hitting or biting themselves, or doing something else to hurt themselves. This is a huge statistic. This means millions of children are crying for help from their parents.
Yeah.
And they're not getting it.
But you said, I believe 26% use eating as a coping mechanism for stress. That plays out in the amount of obesity that we're seeing in teens these days. Well, in families in general, if your go-to mechanism is, I got to eat something, it's no surprise. You're probably not going to go saying, I need to provide myself a lovely vegetarian salad right now.
Yeah.
You're probably grabbing the quickest comfort food you can
exactly.
find.
Exactly. And adults do this as well. But if children are learning to cope by eating, this is a problem.
And parents are allowing that to happen.
Well, if
or
they wouldn't eat it if it wasn't.
Or modeling it.
Yes. They wouldn't eat it if it wasn't in the house to begin with.
Sure.
Now, what I see a lot is children that have headaches around the forehead area, and they tend to crave sugar, and they get depressed. It's what's called the frontal brain area, and they'll have memory problems, maybe anger issues. And I always ask them, how much time are they spending in front of a screen? And they look at me as if to say, what does that mean? And I'll say, you know, in front of a tablet or a phone or a computer.
That's just normal.
How much time are they spending that? And is it hours a day? Because I see this in adults as well. And they'll say, yes, they're on there for hours and hours at a time. And the problem is when someone is exposed to those EMFs, the electromagnetic field from these screens, because we know they do produce radiation, it's burning up natural sugars in the brain. So it makes the person crave sugar. So when you cut back the screen time, you cut back the craving for sugars because the sugars are actually stressing out their adrenal glands even more.
Is that why I have to eat popcorn when I watch a movie?
No.
Oh. What is adrenal fatigue, and what are the different phases and symptoms in kids?
There's three phases of adrenal fatigue. The first phase is the alarm phase. So you're going about your day, and you get a phone call that someone you love has been in a car accident. Hmm. What is your first thought? Are they okay? Are they hurt? What's happened? So cortisol, which is released by the adrenal glands to help you handle stress, goes up. That's a normal response. Heart rate increases, breathing increases. This is normal. When that happens, then, you know, the body's handling your stress, and then you find out that the child's okay or whatever, and you say, oh, okay, they're fine. Maybe the car's totaled. I can get another car. My kid's okay. That's fine. Then the cortisol goes back down. So people go through this all the time. If you're stuck in traffic, somebody cuts you off, you're late for work or whatever, this happens constantly. That's the alarm phase, and most people deal with that pretty well. The second phase is called the adaptive phase. This is when people realize their stress isn't going anywhere. So if they have perhaps a bad marriage, maybe they're a single parent, they have a lot of stress, maybe they're working two jobs, maybe they have a special needs child or they're caring for an aging parent, something that's not going to go away tomorrow, then the body starts to adapt. So cortisol will go up and it will go down and it will go up and down. And so they realize, I'm really starting to get tired. I'm really starting to feel the effects of this, but they're pushing themselves through the day, just doing what they have to do to cope. The third phase, and I don't see this very often, but I do see it, is adrenal exhaustion. This is when someone has had one thing happen another. Maybe they lost a spouse, then they lost a parent, then they lost a job, then they got sick themselves, or they had cancer or something else. It was devastating. And they're done. They don't react. They can't get out of bed. They don't move. They're just there. Then we're not making any cortisol, and the adrenals are saying, I'm done.
So what's the fix?
What they've got to do is they've got to rest. So a lot of people will say, well, I'm tired. Maybe if I exercise, I'll have more energy. Now, let's say you've just run a 5K marathon. Would you be able to just run right out in the next 5 minutes and do another one? You couldn't do that. Most people could not do that.
That's why I don't do that. Yes.
I thought so. The reason is because your body has been under such stress, you only repair when you're resting.
Sure.
Okay? So do people today get enough rest?
No.
Now, by rest, I don't mean sitting in front of a computer. I mean sitting outside in the sunlight, no computer, not even a book sometimes, just sitting and looking at the trees and looking at the clouds and listening to the wind. We don't do that anymore.
No, you're right about that.
And we need to do that. So when I see people in severe adrenal fatigue, I say, I want you to get a chair and I want you to sit outside. I don't want you to think about your plans for the day. I don't want you to make any goals. I just want you to sit.
Let me ask you something, Dr. Jean. If I went to my medical doctor and I said, I've got adrenal fatigue, how is he going to respond to that? And where is the correlation, if any, between adrenal fatigue and what has popularly been described as fibromyalgia?
They are very similar. Because what I've actually seen with fibromyalgia is a lot of it is hidden resentment and unforgiveness.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Now,
that's,
you will think that that sounds strange, but
no,
think
it
about
to
it.
Me at all.
If you are tensed up and upset, where does the tension go? Into the muscle.
They say that bitterness is like drinking poison, hoping your enemy will die.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So if my muscles are tensed and I keep them tensed, what's going to happen over time? They're going to hurt. They're going to hurt. And I'm burning up minerals. See, this is the problem with adrenal fatigue, especially in children. Adrenal fatigue burns up minerals and B vitamins.
Then you add sugar to the equation.
And you add sugar to the equation, which depletes minerals and B vitamins. And kids are angry and kids get repeated sinus infections. And they're always going to the doctor because Jimmy has another sinus infection.
Yeah.
And it's coming from too much sugar and too many antibiotics and on and on and on. But the thing is, when they're stressed, when we're stressed, what do you want to eat? You want to eat junk.
Yeah.
I mean, face it. If it's in a bag that crinkles, you're going to want that, right?
A chocolate for me.
A chocolate for Trace. But that's really the last thing you should be eating. Chicken soup, the old-time chicken soup, is one of the best things you can eat when you're stressed out. So when kids are eating a lot of sugar and depleting minerals and B vitamins, and then they're under stress at school, which is depleting minerals and B vitamins,
yeah,
This is what helps them to cope. This is what helps their immune systems to work. And so, of course, they're going to be sick. Now, think about it. Have you ever just pushed yourself to get through a project or a period in your life where you just didn't have a choice? Mm-hmm. You know, you're just going and going. Maybe somebody's sick. And you're having to see them in the hospital, plus work, plus family, and everything else. And you're running on adrenaline, okay? That comes from adrenal glands. You're running and you're running and you're running. The people that I see ran out of fumes 5 years ago.
Right.
They're not even on fumes anymore.
They're dead and they don't know
They're
it
dead
yet.
And they don't know
so
it.
So where does coffee play into the equation? They wake up every morning with that cup of coffee. That keeps them going. They're almost addicted to that,
well,
right?
Caffeine actually depletes the adrenals as well. So when people are on 6 to 12 cups a day, not good.
Yikes.
Not good for the adrenal glands. Yeah. And kids, what are they drinking?
Energy drinks. Coca-Colas.
Yeah, they're drinking all this stuff that's depleting them even further. Right.
I need to jump in because we need to take a break on behalf of our stations. We are speaking with Dr. Jean Lawrence about stress in kids and, as we find out, in parents as well, and the ways to deal with that in a proactive measure so as to avoid a lot of the problems that go with it. Again, our guest, Dr. Jean Lawrence, you're listening to Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosalind. We'll be back with more conversation right after this.
In the training of our children, what role should public school play? Documentarian Colin Gunn takes a panoramic exploration of this issue by hopping in a school bus for a field trip all over America in the DVD Indoctrination. Colin conducts a series of candid interviews and discovers how God's recipe for training the next generation is being replaced with a humanistic, man-centered program that fragments the family and undermines the influence of the church and the Great Commission. Christian teachers and principals share how they're attempting to walk the tightrope between teaching what they do not believe and being restricted from their God-given call to be salt and light. Indoctrination, Public Schools and the Decline of Christianity in America. Available in the Licensed to Parent store at licensedtoparent.org. Proceeds support the Shepherd's Hill Academy Student Scholarship Fund.
I'm Joe Dallas. So many men and women go into parenting blindly, without training, without education, without proper mentoring. More than ever today, there is a critical need for voices that are explaining to potential parents what it takes to raise a child and to existing parents what it takes to raise that child properly. Licensed to Parent is part of the solution to the problem of a lack of proper parenting, and I'm very proud to be associated with that solution.
With the generous gifts from people just like you, we're able to provide parents with practical insights to navigate the challenges families face in today's culture, as well as helping troubled teens in our year-long residential program. To learn more and to donate, visit licensedtoparent.org.
This is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program, Christ-centered for teens in crisis, located in North Georgia. And our guest today, once again, is Dr. Jean Lawrence of Lawrence Health and Wellness in Toccoa, Georgia. We are talking about stress in our lives and, more importantly, in the lives of our kids and what we can do to try to alleviate that. And Dr. Lawrence, earlier you were describing the need that we have to step away from the screen, step away from the busyness of life, and go sit outside for a while. And just sit in the sun, not even take a book, but just relax, enjoy the leaves blowing, et cetera, yes, which we can do on a fall day. To me, that reminds me of several verses in Scripture. You know, one is, be still and know that I am God.
Yes.
Another would be, Scripture talks about, you know, the people looking in the, you know, in the storm and in all these big things, but what they were told is, no. Listen for the still, small voice of God.
That's right.
We've moved away from that, too, and I dare say that increases our stress a good bit as well when we are not taking time for God.
That's right. We can't hear Him with all the other voices that are coming at us from media and, you know, social media sources and everything else. We need to just be able to listen to Him again, but He won't speak if we're not listening.
Yeah.
We have to be quiet. He didn't say, run and know that I'm God. We have to be still. And we don't know how to do that as a society anymore. Right. And a lot of people, like I was saying, feel guilty about that. Please don't ever feel guilty about taking time to rest, because even the best archer takes time to sharpen his arrows. He's not shooting an arrow every moment.
That's true.
Now, another thing is we can encourage children to share their feelings with us instead of repressing them. Now, a lot of children try to share feelings with their parents about something that's bothering them, maybe a bullying situation at school or something, and the parents just kind of, oh, well, whatever. Or they make the mistake of trying to fix the child. Mm-hmm. We need to be
able
to...
Why is that a mistake? Why is that a mistake?
Because we don't always need fixing. We just need to be heard.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, but parents, I mean, I hear that a lot. You know, you're trying to fix me. You're trying to be too prescriptive. But you know what? I have to say that that's part of being a parent. We're supposed to have answers, but I think there's a balance.
Yes. I mean, sometimes a child needs a real answer to a real problem. And when they come to you for that, you should give it. But sometimes they just want to express their feelings about something, and we don't need to judge it and say,
they're not even looking for answers.
Yes. They just want, and I tell husbands that, if you just let your wife vent, don't try to fix her, wow, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
So what I tell my daughter sometimes, another way to reduce stress, is to help children to handle stressful situations that will probably arise. And one of them is if there's an emergency situation. Now, this is better for older children. So I tell people to have your address written out and taped somewhere near the phone, if they still have a landline phone, which most people don't have. But to know where the address is taped up somewhere in the house. So if somebody has an emergency, the child has to call 911. They know what they're supposed to do.
Right.
So it's always kind of good to run through a few mock situations. What if this happens? What do you do first? What do you do second? Because in a situation like that, a child will panic if they don't have any idea what to do.
Sure.
But I also ask my daughter, I'll say, if she asks me a question, should I do this or that? I'll say, what would you do if I was not here? How would you handle that? And she says, well, I would do this. And I said, right, that's what you would do. But they have to be able to think, what would they do if a parent was not present for some reason?
And you've just done two things there. First of all, you get them to turn it around and go ahead and make a choice. Because a lot of times it's, I don't want to make a choice, so you tell me what to do.
Yes.
But you're saying, well, go ahead and decide what you would do. And then you're affirming or... you know, guiding it in the more correct manner. So
exactly.
That's good. Yeah.
Exactly. And I tell parents to try to spell out exactly what is expected of your child. Most children's stress comes from not understanding what is expected of them. Mm-hmm. Have you ever started a new job and your boss comes up and says, have you done this yet? And you'll say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody likes their job duties set out for them ahead of time.
Sure. Sure.
So there's clarification, and then the children are straight on what is expected. So if you say to the child, I expect you to feed the dog twice a day and change their water every day, then have the child repeat back to you what you said and say, now what did I just tell you? And they'll say, I'm supposed to feed the dog twice a day and change their water once a day.
And that's for your 18-year-olds.
That's for 18-year-olds. But then there's no misunderstandings.
Yeah.
So then when they don't feed the dog, they have no excuse because they can't say, I didn't know I was supposed to do that, because you heard them say they were supposed to do that. But that relieves a lot of stress because they know exactly what's expected, because if a child thinks that one thing's happening or another thing and they didn't expect it, it causes a lot of confusion in the home. So we like to lay down ground rules.
Mm-hmm.
This is your bedtime. This is when I expect you to turn off your phone. This is when the television gets turned off. Then there's no arguing. It's all been laid out. And I have found that most children actually want discipline.
They don't, sure
they
do.
They want guidelines. And so if I'm at a job and I know, okay, I'm allowed to do this or that, then I can work up to that point. But past this, the job goes on to someone else. And that's how it should all be delineated with people.
Right.
Well, boundaries do what traffic lights do for adults. It gives them a sense of security. And without that security, without those boundaries, gangs look pretty appealing to a kid whose frontal lobe is still 10 years removed from being fully developed, or the action and consequence part of the brain, is. So, there's identity, there's belonging, there's significance. And that security blanket that comes from gangs. Kids aren't connecting the dots with the illogic of a gang.
Well, and I think parents experience a lot of guilt because they're not spending enough time with their children.
Big time.
And so they say, oh, well, I'll just let them do whatever they want. Mm. That's okay.
It's a big problem.
You know, who cares? You'll be fine. But if they're spending more than only two minutes with their child every day, how much time are they on Facebook?
Yeah. Good
okay.
point.
You know, you need to ask yourself. I mean, John Piper said that Facebook and Twitter will prove that prayerlessness was not due to a lack of time.
That's a good point.
That's very true.
That's a very good point.
Any final notes that we need to pass on to our parents today because our time is about up?
Yes, I would say the most important thing you could take away from this conversation is please pray for your children every day. Mm. Pray with your children. Yeah. They need to learn how to pray.
That's true.
And they don't learn if they don't hear you doing it. And they don't see that it's important if they don't hear you doing that. And so we want to pray for several things. We want to pray for our children's safety. We want to pray that they make good choices. We want to pray that they make good friends that will be a good influence on them. And don't be afraid to tell your child if you have a bad feeling about one of their friends.
Yeah.
Because I used to tell my children when they were growing up, I'd say, I'm your mother. I'm not your friend. You only have one mother. You can have as many friends as you want. But if I have a bad feeling about something, I will say something. I will step in because my child is more important than that relationship is. So we want them to learn how to pray for things for other people, to have a heart of compassion for other people. But they need to see us doing things. If we're on the computer all the time or just watching television all the time, there's no outreach anymore. And they need to see that we take a meal to someone. They need to see us giving to someone who's less fortunate.
Helping a friend, even.
Helping a friend, picking up someone and giving them a ride. They need to see it in action because there are so very, very few examples of that nowadays.
Right.
I'd like to say as we wrap this up, even though Trace and I do this program every week, this is great advice that I need to heed. I think we all do because as you've gone down the list, I see one thing after another that is still not properly aligned. It's kind of like going to the chiropractor, I guess. My spine is not aligned. Dr. Jean Lawrence has been our guest today on Licensed to Parent. It's always a pleasure to have her here. She is, as we say, one of our repeat offenders. She's been on the program a number of times. Dr. Lawrence is in practice with her husband, Dr. Philip Lawrence. They operate Lawrence Health and Wellness in Toccoa, Georgia, if you'd like to find them. That is how we found them, and she's been a wealth of information for us. And you are listening to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered program for teens in crisis. You can find out more about our program and about Shepherd's Hill by visiting us online at licensedtoparent.org. And as we have said in the past, running a full-time residential program for teens and producing a national radio broadcast can be costly. And in order to help families in all economic strata, we need your help. Your one-time or monthly tax-deductible contribution to Licensed to Parent will help fund the Shepherd's Hill Scholarship Fund, which enables more families to benefit from our outreach. Learn more and give today tax-free when you visit licensedtoparent.org. Along with Trace Embry, I'm Rich Roslin, inviting you back again next time to once again renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. See you next time.